Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 340 of the Mighty Whites podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by Casey.
Now then.
How's things, mate?
Yeah, not so bad, Tar. How are you?
Yeah, all good. It's always easier when Leeds have got a result. It just makes everything, like, the first proper day back at work today where I was in all day. And it went through a lot quicker than it would have done if we'd have got beat.
Yeah. It's a nice nil. It's not a George Graham nil nil draw. It was a nice nil nil draw.
Yeah, it was. They had more of the game, but I couldn't say like, oh, they battered us and we just hung on. Like they edged the game. If one of the teams was going to win it, it looked more likely to be them. But it's not like Perry. It's not like when Marsh got that win there and Melier made like 8 brilliant saves.
That man built a literal masterclass around that game. So I don't know what you're talking about, Jack.
Yeah, fair point. But like Perry made like 4 saves, but none of them were ones you wouldn't expect him to make.
Oh, there was one that I didn't expect him to make. And very much out of order, but it's Ekotike's header into his head.
Yeah, I didn't expect him to save that because I didn't expect Ekotike to head it at a right angle. But to be fair to him, and we'll just do it now, that's probably their best chance at game. Because if he sorts his body out, it's an open goal. But it isn't a cross to him.
No.
Like Frimpong's having a shot and has hit it hard and sliced it at Ekotike's head. So I think it was quite hard for just. But that was their best chance of the game by some distance.
Yeah, it's very much a game of there weren't a lot of clear-cut chances, I think, if we're all being honest.
No.
It was a lot of the game was, as you say, Liverpool had possession. And it's mostly an hour and a half, and there's a few graphics where it's something like, 47% in Leeds' third, 50% in the middle third, 3 in Liverpool's. We went, I'm pretty sure it's something like the first 25 minutes of the second half, we did not have a shot at all.
Yeah. Which normally, when you're watching a game like that, you'd be like really struggling, really nervous. But they didn't. I don't know why. I wasn't that worried watching the game. Maybe it's because we've managed to get that little bit of a points cushion. So that if we did lose there, it's not the end of the world. That made me feel a bit calmer. But like the biggest worry I had the entire game was an hour and 15 minutes before kickoff when I saw the team.
Yeah, I don't think any of us saw that coming.
No, and...
I mean, we literally didn't.
No, and fair play. Fair play, Daniel Farke. It's not what I expected. But basically a front two of... Well, I say a front two. A nominal front two. I don't think we were attacking enough to call it a front two. But putting Aronson up there, and as usual, his work was good. Gruev had a weird game because I think with the ball, he was pretty terrible. But as we barely had the ball, he did quite well against the ball. And that was, 90% of what we needed from him that day.
I think one of the, and this will definitely be your dad's biggest bugbear is, I think the amount of times we gave the ball away on the corner of our own penalty area just with some sloppy passes.
Yeah, trying to play out when there was no real need.
Or just some bad passes, just completely misplaced. But even then, like you say, there wasn't a massive danger. I don't know if you want to go through this one in order. I don't know if there's much need to, given...
There isn't enough things to be in order. Like, the next thing that I've got on the notes is their penalty shout. Where Beal's sort of having a grapple with Ekotike. And I think it's fair to say it was a bit risky. Like, given it's... If he goes down, I think he gets it.
Yeah, he did have a little stroppy jump, did Ekotike afterwards, and I think that might have been more a, oh, ref, why didn't I go down?
Yeah.
Because like there's certainly an argument for sustained pulling, which is a thing now, apparently.
Yeah. I don't know. Throughout my life, I've had loads of attempts at sustained pulling and very few have worked.
I don't know if I've sustained anything.
No, you've stained a few things.
So highbrow. It's one of those. It was risky. If he'd given a penalty, I think I'd have struggled to argue it. But
yeah, you'd have been going, it's a bit soft, and he's had a bit of a pull back at him. But if it was the other end of the pitch, we'd have been going mental for a penalty.
Yeah. I will say, considering I've not seen a lot of him, there's a few times where Frimpong got in behind. Typically, it was in behind and Strouk was the one covering, and he just looked at him and just went, and Strouk was just looking, going, I'm not keeping up with this.
Yeah. I mean, Strouk, well, all of our defenders had a really good game, to be honest, but there isn't much you can do about someone just being that much faster than you.
Like, yeah, there's the odd moment where he's having a bit of a run into the penalty because he had to go for one, didn't he, as well, for a penalty. I think it's with Goodmanson, but
that one, there was no in that.
No. Yeah, it's. I know. They strictly speaking, Liverpool are getting results again, but they're not playing well still.
No, their fan base appears pretty annoyed with. The basically was they were like Leeds aren't kept an away clean sheet all year, so that's why. And they're going and they're sort of saying the same thing we were. It's not like they were battering the doors down all game. Mm. We sort of kept them at arm's length for the most part. And I did think in the first half for a second we were going to get the thing that we had in that Marsh game where just they gift us one when Alisson just decides, I'm Brazilian.
Still. I'm going over here now.
Outside of the foot, into the middle of the park when you're out of your goal, which is about like, I know that he's very technically good for a goalkeeper and stuff, but that is a really risky pass for a goalkeeper play. And Ampadu anticipates it well, gets there, and he strikes it all right, but there's probably at least seven, maybe more players on the Leeds side that you'd rather have that falling to.
You think I said to your dad I'd rather have had that fall to David Batty? I think his had at least left the ground.
Yeah.
Like it's such a well-cushioned pass.
Yeah.
Like the technique on it's actually quite good. It's just what I was looking for.
Had he hit it exactly the same but got it right in the corner, the opposite corner, he might have had a chance. It'd have been very, here's an old reference. Remember John Barnes for Liverpool at St Mary's in about, not even St Mary's, Vidal, in like 1997?
Yeah.
I want to say it was Paul Jones, but that's a long time ago.
It'd be Paul Jones.
Yeah, and he like left foot, and he doesn't get loads of power on it, but because it gets right in the far corner, it just beats him. We'd have needed one of them.
Yeah.
But that was our best chance of the first half.
Is it the best chance?
Or Stacks won really late on. You know, after his first one gets blocked and it comes back to him.
This is a game where, looking here, we have four shots all game. Two of them came within about 6 seconds of each other.
Yeah, those were the two Stack ones.
Yeah.
It did say a lot that we always put him in the bet builders, even in a game where Leeds have no shots, Stack still manages to have two.
It's weird because it wasn't, at no point did it feel, it wasn't an attritional game, and it didn't quite feel like it was a backs to the wall performance either. It was just, I think we let them have it for large stretches and they didn't really do a lot with it. I don't think it was us the 20 minutes after we've realized we don't know how to break this team down.
Yeah.
You know, it's like prime Bielsa losing at Wigan and just going, what do we do? They're not very good and we're all out of ideas.
Yeah, no, we looked well coached. I think that was the main thing. Like, this system, they seem to have it down. Like, they did. Obviously, a lot we're saying that we didn't get many shots away. A main part of that was I thought that our defenders were really good at sort of anticipating stuff and getting into good positions, especially James Justin. Like, there was a couple of really good openings where that actually looked a lot more dangerous than the times they did get shots away, and he was the one getting there to get that light blocking. Because I know he got Sky's man at match, and coming away from the game, I think there's several you could have given it to, but I think I came away giving it Justin as well.
Yeah, I thought he had a good game. I thought Barnow, you wouldn't have guessed that was his first league start for us.
No.
Like I thought he slotted in quite well. Again, just looking here, they had 16 shots, 3 on target. So, yeah. It's fine. We're good.
Yeah.
Probably.
I mean, it's definitely, it's the, I put on our Twitter just basically the definition of a good point, which is what it was. I mean, the Aronson Metcher front two didn't do a great deal. Like, I thought, you could argue Metcher struggled, but what chance did he really have in that situation? We did look to have a little bit more counter-attacking threat once Calvert-Lewin and Okafor came on, and we switched to front two, but that's to be expected. And that gave, well, a lot of people their massive moment of excitement. I must be just such a natural pessimist because I didn't even leave my seat in the pub when all around me were jumping up. This was probably the main thing at second half. Leeds win it high up. I think it was just after the corner. Goodmanson crosses in to Barnow, who makes a lovely little move across his defender and turns it round the corner. Like, it was really good. And Calvert-Lewin finishes really well. And I don't know why, maybe it is just my natural pessimism, but I just immediately went, that's offside. And yeah. It was, even though it was way closer than I thought it was in real time.
Yeah, you've almost got that moment where the defender's trying to step out at the last second so that by the time, yeah, the ball reaches him, that there is quite a big gap in there. It's a lovely touch. Is it Barnow who...
Yeah, the little touch around the corner was Barnow.
That was a lovely touch.
Yeah.
It's the touch of a centre-back who's dying to get forward.
It's about the most one of the most number 10-y things we've seen a player do.
I saw that and I thought, new junior Firpo, get him up there.
Yeah. He's rising the ranks if Calvert-Lewin and Metcher both get injured at the same time.
Well, the only thing holding him back at the moment is a lack of centre-backs. But, yeah, like I say, I thought he did well. I thought the midfield three did what they needed to do. I think we looked a bit better for Tanaka being on, just in terms of someone getting the foot on the ball a little bit.
He did a little bit, but he was only on for, what, 4 minutes, 5 minutes?
It changed the game, mate.
Yeah, so yeah. Like he had a couple of nice touches, but nothing major. Bogle came on for Barnow, which meant we saw Justin go into right centre-back for a bit, which I was quite glad to see for 10 minutes, because that'll probably be required at some point. There's apparently some doubts over Barnow, so that some point might be Sunday. And especially because we can't drop Ethan Ampadu into centre-half, even though I wouldn't want to. Because he's this is the main negative out of the game, because he's suspended. It was a bit harsh. The yellow fan ball.
Yeah, I felt it was much more of a misjudged, I'm going to chest this down, than I didn't feel like he'd thrown his arm into it.
Yeah. I also, because it's sort of like the armpit line, isn't it? And I think you could argue it was high enough. But it's more than that. Even if he was going to give it, I think a yellow was a bit harsh.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's a free kick right on the edge of the area. I didn't think it was a deliberate play into the ball. So, yeah, I thought it was a bit harsh. But unfortunately, he mitigated the risk, didn't he, with... who was it? Bogle and...
Yeah. Bogle was one of the ones on four, and apologies to I think it was Michael that messaged us during the last pod saying these are the ones on four, and I've already forgotten. But like, you know, Bogle was definitely one of them. So him dropping out, I think it was just for rotation, but that probably was a factor to think about. And as I say, as it's crap having Ampadu suspended for the Scum game, if you'd have said Ampadu will get suspended, but you'll get a 0-0.
Yeah,
you'll check that every day. There's also a little bit of a doubt over Gruev, who went off late, but I think that that's just because they haven't played much. So they've seen sort of how they'll react. And apparently Longstaff is back training, but I don't think he's expected. I mean, maybe he'll sneak on the bench, but I don't think that's expected. You'd think he'll be targeting the Newcastle game.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have him back on the bench, though, given lack of Ampadu.
Yeah, I mean, we went from, I think, talking at the start of the season, going that we've got all these centre mids and like Ilya Gruev's quite far down the pecking order, to now you've settled on a three. All of a sudden, we're short of centre mids.
Yeah,
short everywhere, to be honest. This is the problem when you have a squad that has many, many wingers and not much of a need for them. But it's all right. It's transfer window now, so everything will get solved.
Yeah. We have had a message off Billy, actually. Hi, Billy. Any new blood coming in, or same as usual? There hasn't really been any strong links, has there?
No. No, I've not seen a whole lot. The ideal scenario for us is, I think, you probably get a couple of players in on loan to bolster the squad. I think when you look at Metcher and Calvert-Lewin, we could really do with another striker in that profile. But I suppose it depends who's available.
Yeah. West Ham look to have gone early. They were apparently getting Tati Castellanos, who you might remember we were linked when we first got up to Premier League, we were linked with quite strongly after he'd done really well in the MLS. Shouldn't say in the MLS, in MLS. It's not called the Major League Soccer.
The WCW.
Yeah.
Is he a striker?
He is, yeah.
He's doomed to fail.
He's not been great this year, but he has been pretty good previous years. But it's also West Ham and strikers, so to say.
Yeah.
But also, it's like 29 million, which sounds like a lot, considering his record. But we'll see from there. I haven't seen anything really strongly linking us with anyone from anywhere that I really believe.
I think you mentioned last time that the biggest link I've heard of anything is, and it's still not that big, is Jack Harrison
out
off to Spain.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, for his Instagram, it would do great. Like playing in the sun, getting a lovely tan. His missus is probably happier.
Yeah. And we'd be happier too.
Well, most.
Yeah, you've still got that soft spot.
Some of us would be really sad.
Yeah. Speaking of things that could make us really sad, Sunday could make us really sad or really happy.
I don't think it will make us sad. Like, I've got this stupid about a confidence. Like, not that we're going to go over there, like, not we're going to go into this and turn them over or anything, but they are not playing well. They were dread, like, We watched the Bournemouth game, didn't we? Where that just got daft. Like, there was no midfield. The defense is being propped up by Heaven at the back, who is a good player, but it's a lot to put on someone who doesn't have that much experience.
Yeah.
And then they're missing.
Are you saying that their defence, you're finding it hard to believe Aidan Heaven?
I mean, if they're not using it, they're really missing out. Then they're missing quite a few players.
We are
as well, but they're missing world-class players or player.
Yeah, world-class player, I think is fair. Mazraoui and Mbeumo and Ahmad Diallo are at AFCON. Mainoo's injured, but they never play him anyway. He's listed as like doubtful and stuff, but he never used him anyway. De Ligt expected to be out still. Same for
Maguire. Free Bobby Mainoo, are we? Is that where we are? Yeah. The Tim Cahill in the corner.
Yeah. Maguire still expected to be out. Mount's doubtful. And the one that really makes a big difference, because Mount might play still, but Bruno Fernandes is still out. And as much as he is a horrible little rat-faced bastard who would get sent off within 15 minutes of every game for moaning if I was a referee, he is a phenomenally good footballer.
Yeah, I'm going to go as far as to say, in spite of the current system and management they have in place there, he continues to be a top-quality player.
Yeah, so it's good him being out.
Yeah. Mason, I mean, from the bits I've seen recently, Mason Mount's been having a pretty good year, which perfectly in time for him to miss out on it on the World Cup.
Have they said has Amorim said something weird in his press conference today? Because I just opened up the Who Scored preview and it's got Scum in a 4-2-3-1. And seeing as Amorim has very pointedly not played a back four, like barely at all.
You mean playing the formation that makes sense given the profile of his squad?
Yeah, I wonder if... Like, unless he said something, I'm just going to have to assume that's wrong.
He's gone full Bielsa and just named his team. I miss those days. That was a great season when it was just, no, this is my starting lineup. Do with this what you will. Drinks break there. It's just Jack does a deep investigation.
De Ligt, Maguire, Mainoo, Mount, and Fernandes on the Scum website says that they are. He's saying that they're out. Whether that's true or not, there hasn't been anything.
I mean, in Fernandes and Maguire, that's two of their best attacking players.
Yeah. But they if they've got all those midfielders out, and they're playing say 3-4-3, you know, probably like Dallow and Dog, who was the wing backs, and then Heaven, Martinez, and Shaw.
As like yeah, three that, that's kind of what he's gone with.
All of a sudden you're looking at what Mount and Cunha behind Sesko, and a midfield of Casemiro and Ugarte.
Yeah,
I know Casemiro's good, but he can't move like he used to at all. Ugarte has been pretty consistently poor for him.
I would go so far as to say Casemiro has done very well to get back to this level, because he was falling off a cliff last year.
Yeah, he was a lot worse a year ago, wasn't he? But like, I wonder in that case if we will do the matching him up thing for this one and go back to our lovely 3-4-3 with Aronson right, Okafor left, and Calvert-Lewin through the middle.
Yeah.
I think that's quite likely.
I mean... Yeah, I just I don't know with them anymore. One thing I will say is I think Lammens has been a good signing for them in goal. After
yeah, he's a good goalkeeper.
Couple of horrendous choices that they've had over the last year. Mm. I think he's been a good pickup. Just looking at when you look at this team, like Cunha is a very good player, but it very much depends which one turns up every now and again.
Yeah. If all things being equal, if I was having to pick someone, I'm a bit worried about, it's Cunha.
Yeah,
because he's very good at doing something out of nothing, and he loves a shot, and has the quality to do something with it.
Yeah, I'm just looking at their bench from the black a couple of Blackpool from the Wolves game. And it's Lenny Yarrow, Bayindir.
Both Fletchers, didn't it?
Yeah, both Fletchers. I don't even know who Shay Lacy is.
Shay Lacy is a young winger who they're meant to really like. And I know, one, I've read a couple of things about him, but two, more importantly, they brought like Fletcher on out wide in that Wolves game. And all of their fans were fuming. Because, like, well, if you're going to bring on a young kid to play in the wing, bring on Shay Lacy. At least he plays there.
Yeah. So they, you know, talk about our depth at the moment. Glad I'm not them.
Yeah. I mean, they could play Xerxes because he started in the last game and scored. But he started in the last game and scored, and he subbed him at half time because he hated his performance. it's they're a weird team, and they're just, even when they're getting decent results, because I mean, where are, I mean, I know that they're plenty above us, but where actually are they in the league? Like sixth or something? Yeah, sixth.
Yes.
Just behind
ahead of Sunderland.
Yeah, level on points with Chelsea, who Daniel Farke has destroyed by himself.
It's excellent work. It's Enzo Maresca. In my head, he's had a breakdown. Just sort of looking at the championship and just thinking, it's happening again. I've got such a big lead over them. How has this happened?
Yeah. That looks like it'll be Liam the senior, doesn't it? Having been managing.
Is that what's going to happen? This, well, what he's, a turn up for the books. Like, well, I know it's the feader system, isn't it?
Yeah, but yeah. And where did you go? Like fourth? And I don't think that there's not really loads of big name managers out there except for Xavi, and I don't think he'd take it mid season. I genuinely wonder if they might get Liam Rossini in until the end of the season, sort of a manager on loan, like when Solskjaer first went to Scum, where he was meant to just go back to Molde at the end of the season, and he accidentally did too well.
What a world we live in, where a Manchester United manager has previously managed Hull.
A Chelsea manager.
Pardon? Chelsea, yeah.
Amorim will be managing Hull.
They're all horrible people.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, I don't have the same weird level of confidence as you. But like, I'm not scared of them at all, really. Like, Dorgu, if they don't play him at wing back and they're playing further forward, which we've done a few times, he seems to have that ability to beat a man. Even when it looks like he doesn't sometimes. He seems to have a real, really good instincts in attacking areas, whichever position he's playing. Seems to just pop up in good positions.
Head injury as well.
Yeah, he does do that a lot.
Which is pointed out to us by Alex.
Yeah, when that got pointed out, and then he went down with head injuries four more times in the same game.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the thing that we didn't talk about from the Liverpool game, isn't it? That where Stack got fouled, the player that fouled him went down holding his head. And then Stack got absolutely hoofed up in the air 3 seconds later. And the decision was drop ball to Liverpool.
Yeah, Stack got pushed in the back.
The player who did so went down.
Yeah. Late challenge on Stack after he knocked the ball away. Stack's taken out. Referee has a look. Head injury, Liverpool.
Yeah. It was drop ball to Liverpool's keeper, which is only the thing you automatically do if the ball's in the box. Which it wasn't.
Yeah.
Odd referee.
I know we're sort of done with it, but it was a very poor refereeing performance.
Yeah.
But
I knew that there would be something else that we'd remember from what was, I'm assuming, for the neutrals, an awful game.
Yeah.
Just looking at their side, Okafor against Dalot. Dalot is really good. I like how good he is at defending the back post, Dalot. Like, it's the one thing that I think he's really good at. And he's quite solid at everything else. But I'd fancy Okafor to get some change out of him if he can get the ball and run at him.
I mean, if... And this is very much fitness levels depending. I'm more looking at their three centre-backs and thinking Mecher and Calvert-Lewin, height-wise... When you're competing with Lisandro Martinez and Luke Shaw in the air,
yeah.
Like Heaven is more of a natural centre back, but
and just go along to him.
Yeah, like you've got that option there.
Because yeah. I mean, if Martinez is playing, he's like what 5'7", 5'8". He's little. I mean, I'm sure he's bigger than that, but he looks tiny for a centre back.
Yeah, and Luke Shaw is, I'm sure he's like 5'10".
Well, what he is a fullback.
Yeah.
Which is quite a good one when he's fit. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what we do, because I actually, like, I quite fancy that as an idea, playing them both and just targeting them. But the reason that I think he'll go with the sort of 3-4-3 version is because this formation that Scumplay, it's not nearly as well drilled and as flowing as it is with them at times, but it's basically the same formation Palace play.
Mm.
And he went with the three against Palace.
I would argue Crystal Palace had a much better back line.
Oh, yeah. Lacroix, Gaye, and Chris Richards.
Yeah. In fact, you know what? I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to tell you they had a much better back line.
Yeah, fair. So, I mean, we'll be Perry in goal. But as it looks like it was just cramp, I'm assuming still Bornau be all Strouk. But if Bornau's in any way a doubt, I have zero issues with it being Justin be all Strouk.
Yeah.
And Justin probably deserves to stay in the team, given how well he played. I just don't think he will. Because Bornau did well as well. And I think that Bogle has been good enough all season that he deserves to come back in.
Yeah, I think he's got that credit, hasn't he?
Yeah, so Bogle and Goodmanson wing-backs. And then it depends what sort of formation we play, because it's either a midfield two or a midfield three. I suppose us being a little bit short on midfielders is the other argument for the 3-4-3. Oh, I've just read this who scored thing really is all over the place, because Ampadu's in middle of midfield. Yeah. It's Stack and one or two others, depending on which formation.
I'm going with this being Cavallone and Metra up front.
So three centre mids.
So I'm probably thinking Stack, Gruev. Probably Stack, Gruev, Tanaka.
Yeah.
I suppose there's not much else to choose from.
I think it'll be 3-4-3. So I'm just going Stack, Gruev.
I'll tell you what, actually. I'm going to change that. I think it'll be Stack, Gruev, Aronson.
Yeah. The reason I think Aronson plays because I think he plays off the right.
Hmm.
I think it'll be Aronson and Okafor with Calvert-Lewin up front.
Classic Brendy.
To be honest, given...
He's been all right. I don't like him.
He's been good the last, like, four games in a row. Yeah. He's been miles better. And also, given the really stupid things they tend to do, and they do get caught in possession at the back a lot, and he will just tear ass round after him.
Hmm.
I think he's probably quite a good pick for this game specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would sort of, in terms of because of what we'd be like on the ball, I'd prefer it to be Stack and Tanaka. But I think we'll want one of the midfielders to be really disciplined. And with no Ampadu, it's Gruev that you'd have to assume will do that job.
Yeah.
If he's not fit, then you can go Stack and Tanaka and you just have to tell Stack to fight his instincts a little bit.
Yeah.
That's one thing that does become easier if it's a three. Because they can sort of take turns a bit.
Yeah. I think it might be that because I don't know if he... Would he go with a midfield two of Stack and Gruev?
I think he would. I say, and that's what I think he's going to do, but I'm not in any way sure. I just think he will. And I suppose if they do just play their standard 3-4-3, because it's sort of two tens and a striker, we'll probably end up in that weird thing where we'll quite often have two centre-backs and depending on the side they're playing, either Bornau stepping out onto Cunha or Strouk stepping out. Because unless Usgaard's right and they do just suddenly play 4-2-3-1 and then it all, then midfield three, I think, becomes more likely. Which I think is why he'll definitely pick Aronson either way, because he's probably the best one for switching mid-game.
Yeah.
If you're going to switch between the two formations, you need Aronson on the pitch really to be... Tanaka can play off the right, we've seen before, but it's not great.
Hmm. Yeah, I think he'd... I think at this point he'd stick with Aronson. He already has the trust in Brendan Aronson, and now he's playing well as well, which is a bonus.
Yeah. I mean, we'll it'll be interesting to see how we line up because I'm really not I'm really not 100% sure on what they'll do. Before we do the predictions, it is worth mentioning that there's quite a lot of games that affect Leeds tomorrow. Because Forest are away at Villa in early kickoff, then Burnley away at Brighton, then Wolves v West Ham. And for the real edge case, Bournemouth are then at home to Arsenal at R5. And Bournemouth have been poor enough lately to not be out of the woods.
It's I can't even explain what's happened to Bournemouth.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're only 2 points above us, so they're definitely relevant. But basically, tomorrow, 15th down who aren't us are all playing.
Yeah, I mean, Forest are one who they got a couple of good results to start with under Dyche, but again, not playing well at the moment.
No, do you want to know something that I find very interesting?
Hmm.
Wolves are favourites against West Ham.
Jesus.
Wolves are 30. Well, this is 365, but it's similar across them all. Wolves are 31 to 20, so basically 6 to 4, and West Ham are 15 to 8.
See, it's getting to that thing again, and I don't know.
It's almost worth me back in West Ham. Because Wolves are so cut adrift, I'd happily have them win that game.
Yeah. It's. I mean, we've said it at this point of the season now, you know, slap bang halfway in the middle to be 7 points clear of the relegation zone. Brilliant. Big thumbs up. Well done, Daniel.
Yeah. And the thing that I hadn't particularly factored in until it was said to me, we've got 3 points on Forest now as well.
Mm.
Which is just that little bit of extra cushion.
3 points and...
a few goals.
Five goals as well. Mm.
God, imagine if we wouldn't have been so shite for that, like, four games. Really.
If we'd have beaten Burnley.
Yeah.
We'd have just beaten Burnley, we'd be on 24 points. We'd be 10 points clear of relegation.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at any other result, just that one.
Yeah,
There's an argument we were much closer to winning other games than that one.
Oh, definitely. We're shite against Burnley. We're awful.
It's quite, and then like you say, we've still got to play Wolves at home, we've still got to play Burnley at home, and we've still got to play Forest at home.
Yeah. So yeah, strong position. I don't know if it's still the case, but Leeds, you could get 9-1 on Leeds going down.
Hmm.
As of this morning. Ooh. Which...
Have you?
No, I haven't. But mostly because the company do offering 9-1 that I won't advertise. Shut my account because I won too much money. And let me be clear, too much money was not loads. It was not loads at all.
Far less than you think.
Oh, it was like a couple of hundred quid over a couple of months. But yeah. The other odds, Leeds did very briefly on the exchange on Betfair go Favs for this game. It has settled down a little bit now, but like Leeds are 8-5, 2.6 scum. Leeds have Leeds have gone favourites. Leeds 8-5, Man United 17-10. So we're 2.6, they're 2.7.
Hmm.
23-10 the draw. So we are in a world where the bookies have us as the betting favourite to beat Manchester United, which I bet that hasn't happened for a while.
Yeah, good times.
And to be fair, that sort of seems to be the prevailing feeling. Only Connie got any points against Liverpool. We all went for a loss except for him, who had a 1-1 draw. But for this, Connie, 2-0 win. Alex, 3-1 win for Leeds United. Benny has a 2-1 loss, and little Danny has a 3-1 win. I should be clear, actually, Connie's was specifically 2-0 win, fuck 'em. Just to be clear, that is what he actually went for. I genuinely quite fancy this to be a draw, but I am still saying we lose 2-1 for just for reasons.
We're going to win 1-0. And Pascal Strauch is going to score a header a la David Weatherall.
Nice. So diving.
Yeah.
Nice.
To be fair, he scored more than one against them, to be fair. So I can...
Yeah, good point. I was thinking of a specific one, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
We really, like, from what I've seen of, like, social media and stuff like that, and Scum fans that I know, they're not at all confident going into this game.
And I'm oddly confident.
Yeah, I don't like how confident you are, I'll be honest. It's disconcerting.
I've just been in a great mood since...
like since about the start of December.
Yeah, we're unbeaten in six. And as I said to you, if we just go unbeaten the rest of the season, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, that is...
If we keep up this pattern of two wins, four draws in every six...
Yeah, we'll get Europe or something.
You know what? I'll make an allowance in every seven, right? If we do that every seven games, I think we're fine.
Yeah. I do think it'll be interesting to see what we do. If Bornau does end up out, I think it's Justin at right centre back, which I'm fine with. I think the only way that we start to run into a bit of trouble is if both Bornau and Grewe are out. Because then that midfield become... I think you've then sort of got to go with the two in midfield because you haven't really got the options to do otherwise unless you're playing Aronson centre mid. And if that's stacking Tanaka. Although they will... I do think they'd be able to run rings around their midfield. I just think that they might physically get knocked about a bit. Well,
Tanaka, Aronson.
Yeah. As much as they would have a pace advantage over Ugarte and Casemiro and Mount if they do play him as a 10. It doesn't seem like the most sensible midfield in the world.
Although I suppose the real
option is you move Strauch forward into midfield and Sam Byram starts at left centre back.
Obviously.
And then because of course at that point you've got no defenders, you need an experienced head who can play centre back on the bench, so Johnny Howson moves into the squad.
It's all going well.
It's all, yeah. And then, like, when we're 3-0 up, we bring Johnny Howson on with 2 minutes left just to take the piss. That's... burning a spot in the squad.
I mean, are you seeing for this? You just get Jermaine Beckford in to give a team talk.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, have you seen who's coming over to be a pundit for Polish TV?
Yes, that's right.
Mateusz Bogus.
All the way from LA.
No, Mateusz Klich is over. And depending on how they're doing that, like, I don't know if he's got to be on the whole time or if he's just doing it once the game starts. Because maybe he'll be able to have a run around the pitch or something beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah. A gentle walk. He was never the pace player. That'd be nice.
Yeah, and we should try and run into him, see if we can sort something for Krakow.
Yeah, be lovely.
Because he just seems like the sort that if you ran into him and you were out, it's like, yeah, I'll have a beer. So yeah, the confidence levels is slightly too high, but at least a couple of us have got a loss, so I don't have to feel... I mean, based on our predictions, you should all be lumping on the draw because no one's got the draw. But that will do us, I believe. There's nothing else that's come up, is there?
No, I think we're good.
Cool. Nice one. And obviously, this game's Sunday. We then play Newcastle on the Wednesday. So probably try and get one done on the Monday.
Yeah, probably.
I think I'm working, but I don't think the hours are too bad. So we should be at sorts of
Yeah.
But yep. That will do us for episode 340. I've been Jack, see ya.
I've been Casey. Have a good one.
In a bit.